What might we find when we stop looking? That's what Otautahi sound artist Dr. Jo Bozinska asks us in her new multisensory exhibition. She recorded numerous walks throughout the city, guided by what she could hear, feel or smell, rather than what she could see. With the help of a range of people, Jo also foraged for wild foods and experienced life in the city for the visually impaired. Her exhibition invites visitors to touch, smell, taste and listen to the work. I asked Jo what got her hooked on non-visual art.
I actually have kind of a long history of working with sound. So sound has always been my main medium, from experimental music to moving on to making art with sound. I've not been a visual artist, so sound is something that I always work with. I also, when I'm not being a sound artist, I'm also a wine writer. So I was very used to using my sense of taste and smell. And in really the last decade or so, I've brought everything together and started using olfaction and taste, and in this most recent project, tactility as well, as a creative element of my practice.
Well, look at all of those, but we'll start, I think, with sound, because you very kindly sent us to play for the listeners an excerpt from your work. Walk us through your walk. Where did you go? And were you very obviously recording, or were you secretly recording? Because there were voices and little conversations as part of it.
The whole idea of sensory walking was central to the project that became the exhibition, What Might We Find When We Stop Looking. So this was me walking around Christchurch Otatahi. I was sometimes holding quite obviously a microphone. It wasn't that covert. I was just walking around the city and following non-visual cues. So I was following where the breeze might take me. I was following where interesting sounds were leading me, just wandering around, being led by my non-visual senses and recording the sounds as I went, which I then amalgamated and assembled into a walk which encompassed a number of walks, which fed in different things that I had noticed on my many walks over the 3 months of the project.
So you had, as you were walking, clearly you had your eyes open to see where you were going, but the visual was by far the least important guide in this walk. I mean, almost as if you were walking with your eyes closed.
Yeah, definitely. My eyes were just there to make sure I didn't get run over or stumble. But yeah, it was all the other senses playing a really major role and dialing down the sight. And I did a lot of walks with different people as well. It wasn't just me on my own, some of whom were members of the blind and low vision community as well, who have no choice. Sight is not dominant for them. And so some of the walks were actually conducted with them, which was really insightful. And within this this Otatahi drifting, the soundscape work that I've shared with you, there's actually one section when I do a walk with a gentleman called Tony Church, who has low vision, and he's actually navigating the city using a white cane. And you can hear how the cane moves over multiple paving surfaces, from kind of uneven paving to temporary wooden ramps. Really, you can hear the changing terrain of Christchurch in this rebuild and period of transition.
When people come to the exhibition, what will, I don't want to say what will they see, because that defeats the purpose, what will they experience?
Basically, I've imaginatively remapped the city in this exhibition. I fed in all the different understandings and knowledge that I gained through all the different walks, and I've used this to create different quarters or zones that people will move through, which is made up of multisensory installations. It starts in an area called the Kaikatea Quarter, which takes you back to the ancient podocarp forest fragment of Putara Ingamoto Rikkaden Bush, and go through, there's a kind of a major soundscape, this Otatahi drifting, which interacts with the fluid quarter. It's sound and also smell. In the Kaikatea Quarter, it's sound and the smells of the evocative of that space and that time. There's a mechanized quarter, which has got sounds and smells and things to touch as well. This is definitely an exhibition where I'm actually going to have a sign up, please do touch the artworks. There's plenty to touch as well. There is a tactile border, which people are encouraged to explore blindfolded or with their eyes closed. And it's all about navigating this space with your hands. The musician, composer and urban planning academic Roy Montgomery, I did a walk with him, and he evoked a time in the late 1960s in Christchurch where he used to walk certain streets between his school and to meet his mother. And he kind of takes us on a journey, and we walk, and I've got a recording of him walking down this route, remembering the sounds and the smells and the sensory echoes of his childhood and that place at that time. And there's also edible art as well. I have a nurturing quarter, which is an audio gustatory collaborative work, which I have made with the forager Peter Langlands. We went on a foraging walk to find what you can actually eat and taste in a city that's just growing wild. So he is providing the food for that, which is being made and created into kind of a dish or probably maybe a drink by Alex Davies, the chef from the Gatherings restaurant. And that's all about kind of community and sharing. So there's lots and lots of different things for every senses and the senses interacting as well.
What did you learn about Ototahi, Joe, during this process of your own walks, of walking with this range of other people? I mean, clearly you must feel that you know the city so much better than were you just strolling by yourself and glancing?
Yeah. I mean, most often we're hurrying through the city anyway and not maybe paying enough attention to the richness of our environment, just making sure we don't get run over and things like that. What I found out, it was interesting for me because I had been away for 4 years doing a PhD in multisensory art overseas. So I returned to Ototahi, and it was interesting for me to explore it again and explore it without using kind of eyes as my main apparatus. There's still a lot of obstacles if you're not using your vision, certainly walking with the blind. Following the earthquakes, there's still a lot of kind of works funneling people around obstacles into roads, across uneven ground. You're tripped up now by discarded lime scooters through ever-changing layouts, and there's still not a great deal of safe pedestrian spaces where you can just wander and not have to keep a heightened awareness visually. Possibly this suggests a failure to listen to the voices of the community, which really encouraged. They were sharing an idea after the 2011 earthquakes, and they were voicing hope for a central city with plenty of green spaces that would be safe and easy to navigate on foot or by bike. I didn't find that. There's some elements, but things like the walk with Tony Church, you can hear how difficult it can be to get around. It's still got a lot of building work going on. I did a work with an architect. She admitted she used her visual faculties a lot, but it was only when actually listening that she actually drove home how much building work was still going on. The streets still resound with the sounds of hammering and all the kind of sounds of construction. So also the kind of sound of joy as well. Like there's an aspect that's actually within the soundscape that I shared of the children playing in the Margaret Mahe playground. And to me, that joy that you hear and that excitement, it's even more powerful when you hear it rather than when you look at it. And to me, it's about listening to the voices and listening to the emotion in the soundscapes as well.
I was really moved when you were talking about that walk you went on and perhaps moving in the direction of a breeze, you know, letting the wind guide you. And I think, well, you could also walk a city and let the smells guide you, inviting and uninviting. You know, there's all these many different ways. I mean, is this one of the things you hope people might leave your exhibition and think, yeah, look, I'm not going to be map-led or visually led next time I go for a stroll. I'm going to leave it to the other senses to guide me.
Totally. I mean, you can have completely kind of new and exciting experiences if you let another smell guide you. I actually did an urban scent walk just before I actually started the project, and smell was something that I followed quite a lot. We can tell a lot from cities by the smell. I mean, Christchurch isn't the most pungent city, which is probably a good thing, as it indicates kind of good sanitation. Ancient Rome would have smelt of human waste and rotting meat, and Christchurch is definitely more pleasant and fragrant than that. But there's some really interesting experiences to have, like one of the things, we kind of the smell of sadness. We kind of sniffed one of the derelict buildings in the central city to kind of smell that kind of stale air and decay. There's so many emotions around smell and kind of memories. It's such a powerful sense that we really don't use enough. And when you start focusing, a whole kind of another dimension opens up.
Dr. Jo Brzezinska, What Might We Find When We Stop Looking, opens on Wednesday at the Arts Centre in Christchurch, where she had an artist residency for 3 months last year.